Good morning. Welcome to Brown Ministries, a Christian church that makes a difference worldwide, courtesy of the internet. Brown Ministries, a Christian church that makes a difference locally in the Gilbert, Mesa, and Chandler, Arizona communities. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. At Brown Ministries, our God is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we teach the Word of God from God's perspective and not from man's perspective. The Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, designs Christians to live a life of abundance. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this: the thief, Satan, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy the sheep. But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, came that believers in Christ may have the resurrection life and have it abundantly. There are only two orientations on planet Earth. One is the false shepherd orientation, sponsored by Satan and his kingdom of darkness and death. The false shepherd is out to kill the sheep. The other orientation is the good shepherd orientation, sponsored by the Lord, God the Son. He took on the form of man as Jesus Christ and came to earth to become the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, and one person forever. The good shepherd's orientation is for the benefit of the sheep, giving them an abundant life and filling them to all the fullness of Christ. Believers in Christ, how is your life? Is it abundant? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 encourages believers in Christ to test yourselves, to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is indwelling you, unless indeed you fail the test? Believers in Christ are in the faith when they are living a life of abundance. Believers in Christ fail the test of self-examination when their lifestyle indicates that they are disobedient to God's word, in essence, living a life of scarcity. So if your self-assessment is that you're not living a life of abundance, the resurrection life, you must know that you are living a life of scarcity, a life that you were not designed to live, a counterfeit life. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 says this: for false Christs and false prophets, also known as false shepherds, will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. So as to mislead even believers in Christ. Even though this verse is part of a passage concerning events that will happen in the tribulation period, that dispensation that is after the church age, it is every bit as true here in the church age. Satan and his emissaries from the kingdom of death and darkness are always looking to lead believers in Christ astray in their souls, and they are always looking to send false teachers to implant false and misleading ideas into our souls. And when we follow their direction, we forfeit our victory through our union with Christ, and we forfeit the life of abundance the Lord Jesus Christ pioneered for us. So welcome to a place where you can learn to see with spiritual eyes this life of abundance that God the Holy Spirit is implanting in us. Today's Bible lesson: your spiritual gift is part of your identity. Your spiritual gift is part of your identity. So I have a question for you. Who are you? What is your identity? People struggle to answer these questions when they're asked. Yet these questions demand answers during the crises of life, because that's the time it's easy to forget who you really are. As a believer in Christ, you have an identity. Do you know what it is? Do you remember it when you're under pressure? Do you protect it? Do you use it to give you mental serenity that is such a necessary part of living in Satan's kingdom? Do others benefit from your identity? In today's lesson, we'll examine how your spiritual gift connects to your identity. Well, here's June Murphy to sing her song, Worthy, and it will give us a taste of our identity from the spiritual perspective.
Christ is worthy. My worth is and will ever be is my identity with the Lord Jesus Christ, for he alone is worthy. In Christ I'm worthy. In Christ alone is where my worth is, you see. He's part of the Trinity that's indwelling me. Jesus Christ is worthy. With the Lord Jesus Christ, for he alone is worthy. In Christ I'm worthy. In Christ alone is where my worth is, you see. He's part of the Trinity that's indwelling me. Jesus Christ is worthy. Christ is worthy of all honor. He is worthy of all praise. Christ is glory. He's magnificence. I will lift up his name. The Lamb I was slain. I will forever proclaim the excellence of him who died. Christ is worthy. My worth is and will ever be is my identity with the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is worthy.
Stuff I want to be on. Who kidnapped June Murphy? Who was that singing over there? That was amazing, June. Something's gotten into you. It's the stairs. It's the stairs. Get her to walk upstairs and to take off that scarf, and it's amazing. That was so beautifully sung. Thank you very much. So before we begin our opening prayer, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says this: in the same way, God the Holy Spirit also keeps on helping our weakness, continuous action in prayer. God the Holy Spirit keeps on helping our weakness in prayer, for we believers in Christ do not know how to pray as we should. But God the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. God the Holy Spirit makes up for any deficiencies we have when we're praying. In John chapter 14, verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ says, whatever things you ask in my name, things that are in line with my will, that I will do, so that God the Father may be glorified in the Son. As if we may not have heard, he says it again in John chapter 14, verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will do it. The Lord Jesus Christ lives to answer the prayers of his believers. When you pray, what do you pray for? Most of us pray for blessings. But how often have you prayed for crisis? You see, the truth concerning human nature is that we are at our best when we are in crisis, not when we are in comfort. We are at our best when we are being challenged to grow. Crisis challenges us. In fact, crisis invites us to grow. So as we pray today, let's not forget to pray for the crises that will propel us to the next level of growth in our lives. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die instead of us. Thank you for allowing him to shed his blood on a cross as payment for the sins of all creatures. Thank you for raising him from the dead on the third day so he could win the strategic victory in the creator-creature conflict. Father, as we look at the life of your Son, we see crisis after crisis during his time here on earth. And we know that you either allowed or created those crises to advance our Lord spiritually and to prove to us that with your power, we too can do all things as we encounter the crises. Give us the wisdom, Father, to see the crises in our lives as a gift. Help us to understand that comfort is our enemy, except when our comfort zone is so big that it is equipped to accommodate any situation we encounter with a contentment, regardless of circumstances, with a peace that surpasses comprehension. And keep on showing us how to love unconditionally, to love all people and all circumstances just as you do, because love conquers all. And give us the courage to think as you do, to hope as you do, to have faith, and to see ourselves through your eyes. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's Bible lesson, your spiritual gift is part of your identity. Your spiritual gift is part of your identity. So before we get into the lesson, and we may not even get into the lesson, you know, I may just say what I have to say to you, and then I might just drop the mic and walk off. But I want you to know that being a pastor is not my identity. I don't have to do this job. I have options. I could just as easily sit in my house and write lessons and talk them into a microphone. I don't have to come in here and stand in front of you. And if I did that, I'm convinced that if you decided that you wanted to listen to those lessons, that you'd still send the money, only we wouldn't be paying one-third of our money to this place to the tune of $1,720 a month for one day four times. And so that money could go to other things. You know, I don't know what 17 times 12 is, but it's a lot of money. What is it, 20 grand or something like that? So if I just sat at home, lessons aren't going to change in quality. I have options. I don't have to write lessons and talk them. I can write books. I'm really good at writing books. I could do that too. Then I'd never have to come out of my house and I'd never have to see anybody. But I chose not to do that. What I choose to do instead is to come here and stand in front of you every week and to teach whoever comes. Now, 3 years from now, we're going to be in a beautiful building, in a beautiful facility. And I don't believe that we go into that facility that Barah Ministries is going to be any bigger than it is now. I really don't. And there's a real easy reason for that, because I'm not full of shit. To fill up a building, you have to be full of shit. And I'm not full of shit, and I'm not going to start being full of shit. When I write a book about my life, and I will, it's going to be called Authentic Imperfection, because I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not all that. I know where I came from. I came from the ghetto. I came from no place. I am a nobody from no place. And that's why Barah Ministries is called Barah Ministries, because it is God making something out of nothings. I am not a phony, and I'm not interested in being a phony or being around phonies. And phonies to me are people who say one thing to your face and something else behind your back. And I have a contempt for phonies that is unbelievable. So if you come and talk to me, I'm going to tell you what I really think. You're going to know exactly what's going on in my mind. And people don't like that. And people want to take it and make it into something that's not. But I'm going to give it to you straight. And so there are a lot of people who don't like having it straight, so they don't want to have a relationship with me. And a lot of those people are in this congregation. They don't want to have a relationship with me because they know that if we're having a conversation about God, I'm going to tell them exactly what I think. And if I think they're full of shit, I'm going to tell them. And there are a lot of people who just don't like hearing that. And so people who don't like hearing that shouldn't be at Barah Ministries, because that's what this is, and that's who I am. And I don't have any intention of ever being anything different than that. I had a really interesting experience this week. I took June and Heather to Cabo. And I have three timeshares in Cabo. And to tell you the truth, I don't like taking anybody to Cabo. A lot of people that I know have invited themselves to Cabo, and I've accommodated them and taken them to Cabo, but I really don't like taking anybody to Cabo, because Cabo is my second home, and Cabo is a sanctuary for me. And I certainly was not looking forward to taking Heather and June to Cabo. Was not looking forward to it. Now, just so you know, Heather and June are single women. So a pastor should not be going to another city with single women, right? Because it doesn't look right. It doesn't look right. It looks shady. But I have always done things that I wanted to do rather than doing things that look good, because I have options. If you don't like what I did, I'll tell you screw you and I'll go home and write books. Because that's just how I am. I'm going to live my life on my terms. And what I'll tell you is, I don't think I have ever had more fun in Cabo than I did this week with those two women. And in December, I'm taking John and Monica Miller to Cabo, and I know that I will have another experience in Cabo, which I will think is the best experience of my life. But that's a respectable move, because I'm taking a wife and a husband to Cabo, and not single women. You see, if I have to be a pastor who has to do things that look good, then I'm not going to be a pastor. Because I like it that people can call me at my house at 3 a.m. and tell me about their deepest, most intimate marriage problems, and even whether I'm coherent or not, I'm willing to get up and listen to what they have to say. I like having people come to me and talk to me about their problems raising their kids and just give them some perspective of me raising my kids but not knowing whether it works or not, because my kids are assholes as far as I'm concerned. And see, you're not supposed to say that, right? You're not supposed to say that you think your kids are dishonorable assholes, but I think my kids are dishonorable assholes. But it is their right to do that. It's just as much my right to say it that I don't like it. And when I write my book about my kids and about my fathering, it's going to be authentic. And I'm going to talk about all the things that I did that I liked about my fathering. And I'm going to talk about all the things that I didn't like about my fathering. I'm going to talk about all the things that I liked and didn't like about the women that I was married to in that book. And I'm going to just tell it like it is from my perspective. And you know what that's going to earn me? Critique. Critique, because people don't like hearing the truth. That's why this church isn't so filled, and why Central Christian has 3 campuses. Because all you have to do to attract people is to lie to them. I don't appreciate it when I take 2 single women to Cabo and people start warning them that they should be careful. I don't appreciate it. Be careful about what? What exactly should they be careful about? But those are Christians. Be careful. You never know, because Christians do things that my unbeliever friends don't do. They pervert relationships more than unbelievers ever think about, perverting relationships. And I hate that. It disgusts me. And that's why I get to, as a pastor, stand in front of congregations whenever I am and to look out and see the dead looks in people's eyes, because they have bought into a perverted lifestyle and all they can think about is perversion. And what they can't think about is their identity. What they can't think about is their worth, because that's not sexy. It's just not sexy thinking about all the things that Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. It's not sexy thinking about the fact that a guy who gives his life to a ministry is a special person. Because you know what I would be doing if I wasn't a pastor and I didn't decide to write books or record lessons from my house? You know what I'd be doing? Anybody have a guess? Well, I've told you that. Yeah, I've told you that I'd be listening to Kenny Rankin. But I'm not just talking about on Sunday, because if I decided not to be a pastor and I decided not to write books and decided not to record lessons, that would free up my whole week. What do you think I would do at that time? I'm going to golf no matter what. I would hate it. I already did that. I tried semi-retirement at 44 years old, and there's only so much golf you can play. Golf makes you sick at your stomach most of the time, quite frankly. So what would I do? I would teach somewhere, but you know what I would be busy doing? I'd be busy teaching and becoming a billionaire by assembling a community of like-minded people like I was with in Cabo this week and figuring out how to conquer the world. And by conquer the world, I mean how to get into people's souls with authenticity so that they could unlock who they really are and how amazing they really are, so that they could be alive instead of dead. That's what I'd be doing. And I would find a community of a million people who would be willing to invest $1,000, and that's $1 billion. And actually, that's one of the things that I intend to dedicate the last part of my life to. Because I officially this week clicked into the contribution phase of my life. I needed something to shove me over the cliff. And these two women shoved me over the cliff this week. And so now it completely dawns on me why the last seven lessons or so I've been getting so many compliments. You know, oh man, those lessons, they're so powerful. Wow, they're so deep. They're just so different. Best lesson you've ever done. And I'm trying to figure out, I do these lessons all the time. I don't even know what you guys are talking about. I figured it out. My voice is coming out. My voice is back. My authenticity is back. I'm not worried about whether you're here or not here, whether you contribute or don't contribute, whether you critique me or don't critique me, because if I stand up here and tell you the truth, I'm going to get critiqued. Every time I tell the truth, I get critiqued. And I can take it. I like being critiqued. And I like the feedback. And I like being alive. And I created a life for myself in this world. I am never going to regret for one second being on my deathbed. I will not regret one second of that, because I did exactly what I wanted to do here. I live life exactly on my terms. If I do have a regret, it'll be that I didn't get more time. So to you two women, thank you so much for one of the greatest experiences in my life. Because I can't get into the details with you, but that trip was the definition of real. In every single way, it was the definition of real. Real people, it's the same thing, it's exactly what you say. Real people talking real truth and making life real all the time, the whole time, every moment. What a great thing to be like that. And what a great thing to be around it. And there's nobody that's going to ever do anything or say anything on my watch to pervert that. People who give people warnings to be careful are assholes. Because nobody did anything great by being careful. Oh, Christopher, don't sail to the edge. It's flat and you'll fall off. Oh, Copernicus, stop the heresy. The whole universe revolves around the earth. Stop saying it revolves around the sun. Oh, Thomas Edison, why, you failed 1,500 times. Why do you keep trying to make this thing called an incandescent light? Oh, Alexander, why are you putting the two cans and the string together? What is that all about? Oh, Wilbur and Orville, that thing's never going to get off the ground. Be careful. If you want to be careful, why don't you just shoot yourself in the head? Why don't you just go on and get it over with? Die, you're going to be in heaven. I have no interest in being careful. I have a deep interest in being personal. I have a deep interest in every one of you as people. Every one of you. If you're scared to talk to me, that's on you. Because I'm not scary. And I think people who are scared to talk to other people are cowards. And cowards disgust me. Who would you want to talk to? You know who I would want to talk to? I want to talk to Bill Gates. You know what I would say to Bill Gates if I talked to Bill Gates? I'd say two things. The first thing I would say, and by the way, this is the Bible lesson, in case you didn't know. In case you're waiting for the Bible lesson, this is the Bible lesson. What I would say to Bill Gates is two things. Number one, you are a genius for naming your first son Rory. And then the second thing I would say to him, as I pulled out my blank notepad and pen, is what does it take to be a billionaire? And then I'd shut up and listen. And I wouldn't be shaking because I was around a guy who was the wealthiest guy and one of the wealthiest guys in the world. I wouldn't be nervous. I wouldn't be intimidated. I would be grateful. So people who don't want to come and talk to me, when I've been successful in virtually every area of my life, they don't want to pick my brain, I feel sorry for them. Somebody who's studied the Bible for 30 years, you don't want to talk to them because you're scared to talk to them? You're not scared to talk to them. You're scared to hear the answers that'll come out of their mouth because maybe, especially me, what I say to you will be a little bit too authentic. Well, I'm authentic most of the time, but I hold back a little bit in the pulpit. Those days are done. And you wonder why I don't talk about, why I'm always talking about myself. It's because I don't want to talk about you. But I'm going to start talking about you. I'm going to start talking about your sorry-ass spiritual lives when I'm teaching. I'm going to start talking about your dead selves. And I'll couch it so your identity won't be revealed. But I'm going to start revealing some of the stuff that you tell me about your lives. And we'll see how that is. That ought to run some folks off, huh? So welcome to the new me. Welcome to the new me. Now we're studying Romans chapter 12. So let's look and listen to the three passages we've been studying so far. And it runs from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Here's what it says. Therefore I, Paul, urge, beg, beseech you, brethren, you believers in Christ, as you keep on being persuaded because of the many mercies of God, to present your bodies by choice, not by command, as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God the Father, which is your spiritual service. Worship. Your spiritual service is worshiping God. And your spiritual gift is part of that service. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world by Satan, by his cosmic system of thought, and by the flesh resonant in you. And most of that conformed is believers in Christ with no spiritual lives who haven't got an interest in God or an interest in a spiritual life being used by the kingdom of death and darkness to fragment the lives of other believers in Christ. I've had that in my home for 25 years of my 41 adult years through marriage. People in my home who are being used by Satan to fragment my spiritual life. But Billy Idol said it. I hope it's Billy Idol. I'm still standing after all this time. Is that his song? I'm still standing after all this time. Is that Elton John? Oh, that's even better. Because Elton John's got $1 million piano. Yeah, I'm still standing. Where are they? Where are they? Are they in churches somewhere learning the truth from a biblical pastor? I don't think so. I don't think they're even at church. They were used and thrown on the side of the road. That's the way it always happens. That's the way it always happens. Do not be conformed to this world by Satan, by his cosmic system of thought, and by the flesh resident in you. Instead, keep on being transformed by God the Holy Spirit through the renewing of your mind by studying the Word of God. That is what has kept me still standing. Allowing God to keep on transforming me, because that's what he's interested in. Not being too concerned about how many mistakes I make or how careful I'm not. Romans 12:2, continuing. So that you may see clearly through the testing of experience what the will of God is. And the will of God is that which is good for you, that which is acceptable to him, and that which is perfect in result. That's what God wants for you. That which is good for you, that which is acceptable to him, in line with his will, and that which is perfect in result. Romans 12:3. For through the grace given to me by God the Father, the grace gift of being an apostle, Paul's spiritual gift, I, Paul, say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. The thinking that's in line with the measure of faith given to you by God, and the measure of faith that's given to you by God is your spiritual gift. Romans 12:4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, Romans 12:5, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. That was one of the things that's really cool about being with June and Heather this week, that we don't have the same spiritual gift. Yet each of us is hurting in a particular way and in a particular place, and each of us had something to give the other one to heal the wound. What an amazing experience. What an amazing thing. Amazing thing. Just sitting for a whole week and doing that, a surprise that I couldn't have imagined and certainly couldn't have arranged. Romans 12:6. Since we each have a gift, charisma, that's different according to the grace, the charis, given to us by God, each of us is to use the gift accordingly. If he has the gift of prophecy, which is preaching the word of God, to exercise it according to the proportion of his faith. That's me. I want to exercise my spiritual gift. I study and I can't wait to get here to get all this stuff out of me that's been building up for the whole week. Romans 12:7. If he has the gift of service, to exercise it in his serving. Or he who teaches, to exercise it in his teaching. If these are your gifts, where does it show up? It's not enough to just have it. You're not squirrels burying nuts to come back in the winter. Where does it show up? Romans 12:8. Or he who exhorts, to exercise it in his exhortation. To he who gives, to exercise it with liberality. To he who leads, to exercise it with diligence. To he who shows mercy, to exercise it with cheerfulness. Well, these are the first three passages of Romans 12. And as we continue our study of spiritual gifts, God is opening my spiritual eyes, and he's helping me to see how much pain is present in the lives of the people all around me. In fact, How much pain is present in the people all around all of us all of the time, especially in the lives of believers in Christ. You want to hear something disconcerting as a pastor? That I could stand in the pulpit and say, you know, sometimes when I'm at home, I just think of putting a gun in my mouth and blowing the back of my head off and not getting one. I think I got one call from one person about that. I would never let you say something like that without talking to you about it to see if you were serious. Now, what kind of Christians are we if we don't say something? And there's no condemnation for those who aren't believers who are believers in Christ, but do you notice that the pain? Do you even notice the pain? If somebody's going through a divorce, do you think they hurt? Do you say anything? Oh, well, see, I didn't know what to say. Well, how in the hell are you going to learn what to say if you don't go try to say something? These are your peeps. You don't know. You could just say, you know what? I care. And that could keep somebody from killing themselves. Two words. We mean that much to each other. And it doesn't have to be a crowd. You don't have to take somebody over to the Diamondback Stadium with 55,000 people in the stand and put it on Jumbotron. Sometimes it's just one person saying one thing. One thing. And I think that indicts us. I would never allow that to happen if I knew you were hurting. We got to look around. God is allowing me to see the pain that's buried inside of you. And God is allowing me to see the pain that's buried deep inside of me. Pain that has constantly been running my life in directions that are not good for me. What would your life be like if you just decided today to just live it in obedience to God? What would your life be like? It would. Abundance is exactly the word, Deacon Denny. It's exactly the word. Now, you guys saw June singing that song this morning, right? She sounded like a bird who had just woke up and was chirping like crazy. Have you seen that much life in June in a song anytime recently? Because I haven't. That was amazing. That's because she was getting drunk in Cabo every day. I mean, we know why that was. No, she really wasn't. She's a lightweight. She had one drink, and it was it for the week. No more for you, June. I had never seen nobody get hung over one drink. Like, how you gonna get hung over one drink? Oh, that's right. She did that on her birthday. All right, no more alcohol for June. Do your spiritual eyes see the pain of those around you? Do you even care about them? Your spiritual gift is one of the things God has given you that allows you to express your caring for others and allows you to help heal those around you. Spiritual gifts are especially designed for believers in Christ. You have a spiritual gift so that you can minister to other believers in Christ. You know, your mom saying that she had been married 50 years, that gave me hope. I don't think I have 50 years left, but I think I got 38. Maybe this time I get it right. I think the third time is the charm. Maybe this time I'll be with somebody who understands how to be them and who's interested in having an us. Maybe. Maybe I'll be with somebody who thinks that Jesus Christ is as important in this world as I do, instead of somebody who thinks that it's a bumper sticker or a license plate. Because if you, Lord, exalt God, because there are a lot of people who say that crap and they're going to get to heaven, they're believers in Christ, they're going to get to heaven and they're not going to know who they're standing in front of. And I think that's pathetic. I think it's pathetic if you spend 80 years on this planet and you don't get to know who God is. And I was laughing. There's this guy in one of my sessions right now, and he, I don't believe in God, then why do you even say the word? Why do you say, I don't believe in God? There must be, he has to be if you're not going to believe in him. It doesn't even make sense. And he's saying it with so much passion. Brilliant guy, demonstrating an amazing ignorance. Just ignorance. Pain. Pain. And he's going through a divorce. He's hurting. He is desperately hurting. And he ain't talking about that. Because that's just not the kind of stuff you talk about at parties. No, we're busy being phony. That's one of the things that disgusts me about traveling, is just going through airports and seeing all the first-class phonies doing the pretending that they've got such a close family, and you almost are tempted to believe in it until the four people all take out their phones and start staring at them for an hour and a half. You almost think that they got that family thing down, and you can hear the words coming out of their mouth. Oh, family is first. Yeah, right behind the phone. Your spiritual gift is one of the things that God has given you that allows you to express your caring for others and that allows you to help heal those around you. People need you to help them heal. I need you to help me heal. What have you done lately to help me heal? What do you know about my pain? Or is this pastor thing just a one-way street? Is this just me coming here to give you stuff every week? And you don't owe me anything? Is that the way it works? I don't think that's the way God thinks it works. What is your identity? Another way to ask that question is, who are you? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, June Murphy told you about your identity in her song, Worthy. Our identity is that we're in Christo Jesu, the Greek language describes it that way, in Christo Jesu. I love that expression. It means that we're in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes us worthy. He makes us deserving. The Lord demonstrates through his decision and through his action of dying for us on a cross and through his decision to be in union with us that we are deserving. Not because there's anything in us that's worthy or deserving, but because of his mercy. And I think believers in Christ throw those two words around on a regular basis, worthy and deserving. I'm not worth it. A believer in Christ who ever says, I'm not worth it, should just be taken out of the gene pool. How could you insult the cross and Christ like that? I don't deserve it. A believer in Christ who ever says that should be taken out of the gene pool. How could you insult the cross and Christ like that? Because he says you're worthy. He says you deserve it. And he showed that you deserve it by going to the cross for you, for dying for you, for being in a tomb for 3 days for you, for being resurrected from the dead. But think about the 33 years of absolute humiliation that he experienced. Think about when he was hanging around with the hoes. He was hanging around with prostitutes. He was hanging around with single women, and he was a single guy. What do you think they were saying about him? Hey, man, why's your boy hanging out with the hoes? Hoes is a black term for whores, in case you guys didn't know. Why are you hanging out with the hoes? And worse than that, why are you hanging out with the tax collectors? And he looked at them, and he says, sick people need a physician, man, not healthy people like you. You don't need anything. I like hanging out with broken people. And I like making a difference in their lives. I like telling them that they're worthy. I like telling them that they deserve it. And I like showing them how men operate when they're dealing with women. Like alphas, not like betas. little girls in men's bodies who don't know how to treat people. Like my dad shattered my mom's heart. I don't know if you've ever seen the musical Miss Saigon. I cried through that whole thing about this guy who had promised a woman that he was going to come back for her, and he never did, and he broke her heart. I detest men who do that. I think they should be taken out of the gene pool, but I'm not God. God's gracious. I'm not in that matter. I hear Christians saying it all the time. I'm not worth it. I don't deserve it. Or I am worth it and I do deserve it. I don't think those words ever ought to come out of a believer's mouth. It's just like in Japan, none of the products ever mention quality. It's just a given. Why you got to talk about your worth or your deservingness? It's just a given if you're a believer in Christ. I never hear them follow up, though, with why they're worthy or why they're deserving. And they're worthy and deserving because they're in union with Christ. He alone is worthy. And through our union with him, he made us worthy. Worth and deservedness is part of your identity as a believer in Christ. Whether you believe it or not, you have an identity in Christ. And anyone who tries to steal or tries to pervert or tries to get you to doubt your identity is not on your side. Unfortunately, sometimes the people who are used by Satan and the kingdom of death and darkness to steal, to pervert, and destroy our identity are those closest to us. I've been at the wrong end of those attempts many times. Family, spouses, children, business partners. And even worse, sometimes the person who is out to steal, to pervert, and destroy your identity, the person who's most not on your side is you. Amen? 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 So what do I mean by identity? It's who you are. Satan wants us believers in Christ to believe that we are the sins we commit. He offers us an identity based on our sins. If you engage in the sin of homosexuality, then your identity is that you're a homosexual. If you engage in the sin of stealing, then your identity is you're a thief. If you engage in the sin of having an extramarital affair, then your identity is you are a cheater. And as we all know, once a homo, always a homo. Once a thief, always a thief. Once a cheater, always a cheater. That's how it works in Satan's kingdom. Satan wants believers in Christ to believe that our identity is created by the sins we commit. The problem is we believe him, but we know from reading Paul or Romans chapter 7 incessantly that it's the flesh who does the sinning. It's not us. But we don't believe that because Jesus said it. If Satan had said it, we believe it. The Lord Jesus Christ has a different viewpoint about your identity. Let's take our break. Let's play Laura Story, her song Blessings. And then we'll take our break, and when we come back, we'll take the offering, and then we'll wrap up with the first five of those identity things.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if it's a sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near. What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not.
Five-minute break. go deep. Welcome back. Today's Bible lesson, your spiritual gift is part of your identity. Giving is both a spiritual gift and a function of your ambassadorship. When it's a spiritual gift, it is supernatural. People with the supernatural gift of giving do so with an insane generosity. Those who give as a function of their ambassadorship give based on ability. Well, God wants us to be great stewards of the gifts he gives us. And financial blessings are one of those gifts. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, as each one has received a special spiritual gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Your generosity is an expression of love that serves the body of Christ. And as you give today, be generous with the financial gifts the Lord has entrusted to you, knowing, always knowing, that the Lord will provide more resources to you in abundance. Barah Ministries needs your support. Show your faith in God and show your confidence in his provision with your generosity. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with today's offering message.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church where real people come to listen to a real pastor tell real truths. Won't stay on. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. So when I heard about the trip to Cabo, I wanted to warn Pastor, not warn the girls. But I'm glad to hear that you guys had fun. And lately in life, I've been seeing a lot of moments where we're being called to step up. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. About 2 weeks ago at our shop, there was a huge bang, like an explosion. And I didn't hear it because I was in the second shop. But the guys in the front shop, my boss, heard the bang and went out on Broadway. And there was a head-on collision between two trucks, a small truck and a big truck. And the big truck clearly won. And there was a fatality. And both of my bosses rushed in, which I think is awesome. Because there's a moment where, hey, I don't have to help. I don't have to see something that might change my life. I don't have to get PTSD. But they rushed in. They helped people get out of a vehicle. They helped flag down a tow truck to get some cones in the street to stop more cars getting caused in the accident. And it makes me think of a time I was driving home from work down Broadway, and a young Hispanic kid came up to my window on the passenger side and started banging on my window. Please, please, let me in, let me in. And I had a split second. You know, do I let him in or do I not let him in? Do I have faith in Christ to protect me in the situation or do I not have faith? I unlocked the door. I let him in. I said, what's up, man? He needed a ride back home so he could get to work. He had just missed the bus. I said, let's go. Took him 2 miles down the road, dropped him at his apartment. He said, thank you so much. You know, those moments, yes or no, do you step up? And that's just like it is here at church. Do we step up? Pastor steps up. He's taking the lead. It's the hardest part. You think about Paul. He stepped up. He was killing Christians, and now he's started teaching them. You know, and he's in prison, and he's still writing. He's still working. You know, you see that in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. This is Paul in prison telling his apostles how to act. He's still worried about them. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, unbelievers, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so you shall know how you should respond to each person. It's like Pastor said, you may push somebody over the cliff by being rude, or you may pull them back. It only takes a couple words, and that's where we depend on the Holy Spirit. And it's the same thing for the offering. This is a time to step up. The offering is just a call for worship with your treasure. But it's a call to do all those things, your time, your treasure, and your talent. Those are amazing things. We're all very talented. Our identities are very talented. And I think Pastor has mentioned it a while ago, we start seeing people as things and not as humans that are hurting. And there's people hurting all around us, right in our midst. And so if we can go out and help somebody that we don't even know, why is it hard to help people we do know? Is it too personal? I think it is. And it should never be too personal, because I don't think we should be scared of the mistakes we've made to let other people know, because that might help them in those situations. And it's truly amazing to see Pastor, who's been hit at every turn and trying to be, you know, Satan is trying to take him off the pedestal, that people put him there. You know, we don't put him there, but Satan puts him there. He wants to make him this person to be attacked, this person is supposed to be perfect. But nobody's perfect. And I'm proud to be one of his bust-out friends. And that'll never change. So, you know, thank you for everybody coming out for the homecoming. I know Pastor loves seeing John and Monica and Tracy and her mom. It was so great to meet them. And we were missing a couple faces, but we'll get them next time. And thank you so much for your consistent giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And don't waste the opportunities.
Welcome back. Am I on? Awesome. So today's Bible lesson, your spiritual gift is part of your identity. Sorry, Deacon Denny, my speech was not laced with salt today. It was more laced with pepper. But, it's a shame that my first response to things is passion, intensity, and anger, but it is. When I come to the revelations about how we do things as human beings, because I just think we waste so much of our lives. And I don't like seeing us as believers in Christ especially waste 1 second of our lives thinking that Satan's program for us is amazing. His program for us is nothing. It is nothing but death. That's all it is. And any of it we buy into is death, and that's all it is. We are not, as believers in Christ, supposed to talk behind each other's back. We need to talk to each other in front of our face, because that's what God would do. That's what Jesus would do. He would not talk behind our backs. He never talked behind anybody's back. Did you notice that? He always came to people and talked to their face. That's what you do when you're a Christian. And when you're not, when you're a Christian and you're bought into Satan's program, you do exactly the opposite of that. And that's the stuff that we need to stop. Because that's the stuff that makes us go to our grave with regrets. That's the stuff that makes us go to our grave without relationships. Because let's face it, If you have a relationship and you can't argue, you don't have a relationship. You're just joking. That's just phony. People who love each other argue. They have viewpoints. And they express the viewpoints. And they're not scared to express the viewpoint. They're not looking for validation from other people when they express their viewpoint. Okay, I'm going to tell you something, but you need to agree with me. They put their opinions out there to be shot. All right, so your spiritual gift is part of your identity. I'll give you a few of these, and you're going to see them again next week because I'm not going to get into the depth. I'm really late, and I don't want to keep you guys late. But here are some things. A believer in Christ's identity. We are saints, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 7. To all, this is Paul opening up the book of Romans. He says, to all who are the beloved, all who are the divinely loved ones of God the Father in Rome, and every one of us is a believer in Christ, is a divinely loved one, called as saints, called to the calling of saints, not sinners. Believers in Christ are not sinners. We are saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a saint. Did you wake up thinking that this morning? That you are a saint. A believer's in Christ identity. We are saints with a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware. You have a spiritual gift, and you are supposed to find out what it is and use it for the benefit of other believers in Christ. Your job with your spiritual gift is to affect me. What if you are the lungs of Barah Ministry? What if you give Barah Ministry air and you're too busy doing something else to do your job? Well, I'm suffocating in the meantime. Now, I'm not going to do that to you. If you need the word, you need the nourishment of the word, I'm going to feed you. And here's what people in Barah Ministries do. They listen to this lesson today. Then they'll listen to it Tuesday, and they'll listen to it Thursday. And then on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they'll go back a year at the same date and listen to those lessons. And they'll get more out of the lessons this time through than they did the year they heard them. Because that's the beauty of Christianity today, where the internet empowers us to post things that have lasting value. And that's going to be amazing because one of these days soon, we're going to be raptured, we're going to be plucked off the earth, but all the things that we laid on Barah Ministries' website are still going to be down here for the people who have now moved into the tribulation period and into the 3.5-year con game that is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Oh, one world currency, one world government, one world religion, we're all in this together so that the kingdom of death and darkness and Satan, the perpetrator coward, can suck everybody into that and then turn tyrant, which is exactly what he is, and then try to dominate the world and then get himself locked up in prison for 1,000 years at the end of that fiasco, another failure on his resume. Believers in Christ's identity, we're loved unconditionally. We're saints. We have a spiritual gift, and we're loved unconditionally by God. 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love unconditionally does not know God the Father, for God the Father is, by his very being, in his very identity, unconditional love. If you ever say anything as a believer in Christ, that God is disappointed with you in any way, you have no idea who Christ is. You have no idea who God the Father is. You have no idea who God the Holy Spirit is because they are too busy being amazing to be disappointed with you. They are not. You are the child of a king. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, God the Father predestined us believers in Christ to adoption as sons, adoption as adult sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. The royals in Britain just had a baby. And this baby is a prince, and this baby is royalty. That baby is a snotty-nosed little pooper. That's all that baby is. You are the princes. You are the princesses. You are the children of the real king. the only monarch. You're an heir with an inheritance. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. God the Holy Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, and we are, heirs also, heirs of God the Father and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, which we do, so that we may also be glorified with him. You are a saint with a spiritual gift who is loved unconditionally as the child of a king, and you are an heir with an inheritance. Now, if I were you, I would take that, cut it out of the notes today, put it in your pocket, and every time you have the thought to say something stupid to yourself, pull it out and read it. So it can remind you of who you really are. Because you are not all the things that the flesh is telling you you are. You are who you are. So stop saying other stuff to yourself. Because if you keep saying that stuff to yourself, then you're going to suppress your spiritual gift. If you suppress the development and recognition of your spiritual gift, I'm getting cheated. I'm sick of getting cheated. Amen? Don't cheat me. Let's have it. Let's interact. Let's hurt each other. That's why we came to Barah Ministries. We came to Barah Ministries because we're picking the people we want to hurt us. And we're picking the people we want to hurt. And the only way for us to hurt each other is to be around each other. Anybody can isolate. That takes no brains. It takes no courage. It takes courage to stand up and to be counted and to put it on tape so everybody can critique it. That's what I'm proudest of as a pastor. All my stuff's critiquable. You can see it. You can listen to it over and over. I get to hear my own stupidity over and over and over again every week. Love it. All right, we're going to close there. I had much more to say to you, but the stuff I said to you was the important stuff I wanted to say to you. Let's welcome up June Murphy to sing our closing song, which is about God. Hang on, let me get some water. I hate drinking when I'm teaching. Did you see Pastor Farley doing that like every 5 minutes? I criticized him for that. I said, how you get so thirsty up in the pulpit, man? Because you can hear him gulping a little bit, you know, on the microphone. That's kind of bogus. You didn't hear him gulping? I heard him gulp. I know he was thirsty coming to the desert, but, I mean, he's thirsty when he's in Florida, too. So, it's humid there. It's the same thing. Yeah. Water's for weak people. No, didn't you guys see... what was that? There was a football movie. Something like Varsity Blues or something like that. No, Varsity Blues. I think it's called Varsity Blues with the football coaches. It was Denzel Washington was playing a football coach. He said, you want water? Water's for weak people. What was it called? Oh, yeah, The Revenge of the Titans or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, that was really good. All right, so here's June singing the song that she wrote, All Because You Wanted To, which is all about our Almighty God and how he felt about saving us.
Your word is the air I breathe. You're my salvation. You died to set me free. Your love's unconditional, unlike the love of man. In your
just because you wanted. You sent me Paul, forgave me too. You gave me faith, a hope in you. You chose to endure the cross because you wanted to.
Excellent, June. Thank you very much. Sound like a bird singing for the first time outside the cage. It's not the first time you've been out of the cage, though, but sounds good. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for the inspiration to be the unique person that you created us to be. And thank you for unleashing our voices, because you put us here to have a voice, because we are not citizens of planet Earth. We are citizens of heaven. Our polituma is in heaven. And so we are here as foreigners in a foreign kingdom, preaching your word and standing up and acting like you want us to, because of the great gift you've given us, the gift of Christianity and the gift of Christ and the gift of an indwelling Trinity that empowers us to be anything we want to be. And shame on us for being less than you planned for us. And we just pray that you give us the courage to stand up and be counted, the courage to stand up and be ourselves, the courage to ink our fingers and put our unique fingerprint on this world and to leave it indelibly printed because of the enabling power that you put behind those fingerprints to make a difference in every life we touch. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.